Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing this morning?
Everything's great, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Nice to be seen, as they say. You're looking all fit as a fiddle and everything. Everything up there in libtard land, Los Angeles. You guys doing okay?
The land of the libtards, Los Angeles.
You're not locked in with... I see you wearing a triple mask this morning, though, for the podcast. Is three masks enough for you this morning?
I got the painter's mask on. I got all kinds of masks.
The N95.
The N95.
That's when I was traveling in Dallas the other day, right? I was like, there's some dude at the airport with two masks on, including an N95 and a plastic shield, and he had rubber gloves. I thought this guy was going to go clean the toilets or something. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, and it's really just terrible. The push for the mask mandate. I don't want to go down that road again. But my lord, it's endless with the mess. So,
good to see you anyway. Nice to catch up.
Absolutely. Let's get into it. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, as we all know. First off, we are approaching. This is unbelievable to even acknowledge. 20th anniversary of the horrific 9/11 disaster at the World Trade Center towers. Blink of an eye, 20 years goes by. And for many, a turning point, obviously, for good and bad.
Yeah.
It certainly brought into focus the potential of the Muslim terrorists, those that, Al-Qaeda, those that follow the Quran and so on.
Yeah.
And, it's 20 years. It's unbelievable. For me, I was just at my office on a regular day. And I do want to point out that there's a famous photo of us. We went to the World Trade Centers in the mid 80s.
Yes.
Was it 1986, buddy?
It's 86, 87. There's that picture of us on the top of Tower One. This is before they even had guardrails. It was like the little 4-foot guardrail around the outside with a friend of ours. And the three of us were pictured at the top there. Yeah, that was 87, Dave. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Incredible. It's
and we've learned very little from that day. It seems like we've gone backwards. Now, all of those first responders are treated like trash now. They're not respected at all. Remember that whole thing about, oh, we got to support, all the first. No, that it's all been turned on its head. We're still making the same mistakes in the Middle East. We're still allowing in potential terrorists to cause even more damage. So we've learned nothing, Frank, in 20 years.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, Dave. Sadly, we've learned nothing. I really want to give a shout out to all the families who've lost folks on that day, tragic day about 20 years ago. On a personal story, I was living in Philadelphia at the time. We saw those towers come down on TV at about 9:30 in the morning. My administrative assistant at the time, the company I was at, her brother was on the 100th floor of Tower One. And unfortunately, he was killed. We watched that tower go down and we watched her, obviously, in great emotional distress during that time. And it was horrendous. We had F-18 circling over Philadelphia. We didn't know what was going on at the time. It was war. We were at war. That was a declaration of war. And like you said, Dave, 20 years have passed. And to bring it back full circle to a couple of shows we've done in the last few weeks on Afghanistan, what have we learned? We spent 20 years there occupying the country. Now, in a sense, we took the war to them. So on the one hand, a little bit of that made sense. We spent about $1 trillion, about 6,000 people, U.S. service people died during the course of that 20 years. And we left in a complete shambles and a complete embarrassment the way we exited that country in the last couple of weeks. With more U.S. service people dying. And as you said, we just imported 50,000 Afghanis to U.S. military bases with no paperwork. And we're creating the causes and conditions for this to happen all over again. And it's sick. And we obviously covered this in previous podcasts, so it won't be the topic of today. But it is just unbelievably sad how this country does not learn.
Well, we need to have new leadership, especially here in California. So that is my segue, new leadership, to the pending, upcoming, momentarily happening governorship here in California.
The recall with Gavin
Newsom and Larry Elder is coming up strong. He is their worst nightmare.
Oh yeah,
as a well-spoken Black conservative. He's all
the new black face of white supremacy. The LA Times.
Yeah, so that's where I was going, buddy. So the LA Times is another rag, just like the New York Times and all the rest. But they actually had that headline.
Yeah, I mean, that's how desperate they are, right?
It's you can't parody this on SNL.
No.
It's so, you know, we can have various governors in Virginia walk around in blackface. But Larry Elder now, I can't even, you know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, the LA Times is, of course, on a full rampage. And Gavin Newsom, in his last little video clip, is in full meltdown mode. He's screaming and hollering. People are going to be dying. It's going to be, you know,
it's dogs a matter and cats of life and together. Death.
Life and death.
Yeah. He brought out that Elizabeth Warren. And by the way, she flew coach, apparently. So apparently the Democratic coffers are not doing so well in California. So Newsom flew her out coach to give a little rah-rah rally. But this is how they are desperately grabbing at swords.
And I think if it's a clean election, Larry wins. Now, that's a big if. Because they're pulling the same crap they did last time. There are apparently hundreds of thousands of blank ballots sitting out there, just waiting to be filled out appropriately. People in California, I don't know if everyone understands this. You can now print your own ballot in your home.
I wonder if
somebody's going to print hundreds of their own ballots and just like fill it out. And they're not, you know, depending on whoever the person is at a quote unquote, reception center or whatever.
Yeah.
They can either throw those away.
This is 2020 all over again.
Oh my
God. It's 2020 all over again. And I don't think people realize California is a lot more red than people think it is. We've sort of been engineered to think it's basically a 60-40 state, blue, red, Democrat, Republican. I don't think that's the case. I travel around. It's not just a confirmational bias thing. I'm hanging out with people who, you know, I like to hang out with. Yes, that's true. But I travel around a lot. I see a lot of this state. And I see a lot of red everywhere. It's always perplexing why it's 60-40.
You take out the city of LA and the city of San Francisco, and this is a red state. It literally just is that simple.
It is.
The other thing that will scare you is that the Dominion system machines, which were, of course, atrocious, and they've been used, they're still being used way too often, but they are now in 40 counties in California.
Yeah.
So already you think, oh my God, here goes the Dominion machines again. And then the fake ballots, you know.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. All I can say, we got to get Larry. I've already put my ballot in, Dave. I know you have. If you live in California, or maybe even if you don't live in California, get a ballot. No, I'm just kidding.
Just get a ballot.
Don't do that.
We're
not in support of that, obviously. But if you live in California, remember to vote yes. It's two votes, right? So vote yes first to recall Governor Newsom, and then vote for to elect Larry Elder. He is definitely running way ahead in the polls. And I think it's just the gut check on what is really needed in this state. God bless him. Hope he wins.
Yeah. So there was a huge ruling this last week in Texas about abortion, and actually won in the W column.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a fetal heartbeat. It's not a bill. It's
a legislature. It's a law now.
Oh, it is law. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court said, at a 5-4 ruling, said it was good to go. So
the
immediately.
The state Supreme Court. Yeah.
State Supreme. Well, it wasn't the.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave. I think the leftard side appealed this to the United States Supreme Court. Right. The U.S. Supreme Court stayed silent on the question, which let stand rule.
They kicked it back.
The state Supreme Court ruling stand, which is in favor of pro-life in Texas.
So obviously a step in the right direction. And of course, the left, Planned Parenthood, immediately their hair on fire, went ballistic.
Right.
And you know, this is not the end of this is just the beginning, but a great first step that it got put through.
Yeah.
And other states are now going to try to copy some of the verbiage they use, because there's no such thing as a bulletproof piece of legislation. There's always some little thing that they'll try to attack. And we haven't heard the end of it, but good for Texas, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a step in the right direction. And I think what we're seeing playing out on the national scene is, depending on your ideology, this is all these different types of issues, whether it's vaccines, masks, pro-life, Second Amendment issues, whatever it is. People are now making decisions on where to live based on compilation of all this stuff. Where am I comfortable? Do I feel more comfortable in Idaho, or am I more comfortable in San Francisco? And people are making this call now, I think, more and more based on the outcomes of these sorts of things, the laws, how free you are, where you can go, what you can say, what you can do. And I think that's good. I think that's good. And you have freedom of movement, and people can choose where they want to live and what school they want to go to or not go to. And I think that's great.
I think the funniest thing that was brought up in the last week with the whole COVID situation is, you know, the big mantra for decades with the pro-abortion folks is my body, my choice. Oh, except if about the COVID vaccine, then it's not your body and not your choice.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you, libtards.
Well said, Dave.
Yeah. Speaking of nonsense, so now in San Francisco, they are going to, this is a real program. This, once again, is not a comedy skit.
No.
This is real. They're going to start paying potential criminals $300 a month not to shoot people. This can't be. My hair's falling out, Frank.
No, Dave, read me a little bit of this story.
Hold on. It's called the Dream Keeper Fellowship. Will give a monthly gift card to people that they deem are at high risk of committing a gun crime.
You're kidding me.
So not only can you walk into any store and steal up to $1,000 worth of stuff and just walk out, they won't touch you.
Right.
Now, as you're going out the door, hey, here's a $300 gift card for not shooting anybody.
Oh
my Lord.
The first thing that comes to my mind in San Francisco, that's just a perfect compilation of statutes where you're also allowed to go in and basically steal up to $1,000 from any store and walk out without even getting a misdemeanor. They won't even call the cops anymore. So you literally see guys walking in with backpacks and barcode readers. And I've seen this. I've physically seen this. They scan items. So they make sure they don't go over the limit. They stuff this shit into their backpacks and walk out. And I guess now they can walk out and go home and get a $300 check while they're at it. So congratulations, Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, for driving out more people. Just don't come to conservative cities and states, because we don't want you.
Well, hopefully, we've been saying this for many, many years. We think eventually even the most diehard Democrat is going to somehow wake up a little bit. But who knows? Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be fine with all this stuff.
Yeah, I think they're okay just drinking Kool-Aid in their own little towns and whatever.
Now, the other thing that Democrats love to do is they love putting on masks and they love storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Yes.
They love doing that. I think, along with everything else, Frank, about that strange day, dozens and dozens. And will we ever get to the bottom of it? I don't know. But I think dozens of people were not Trump fans and were there to stir up the crowd. We already know that one fellow was a hardcore Antifa agitator.
Right.
And now they found somebody else. Some loser was arrested because he was a hardcore Democrat and he was in the U.S. Capitol on that day. And he was wearing a COVID mask to the Trump rally, just trying to stir up nonsense.
Great.
So he lied and they actually arrested him.
Great. Yeah, no, fantastic. And I think that goes along perfectly with the FBI informants who were in the crowd as well. I think there was dozens of those guys basically making sure the doors got open to the Capitol. I wouldn't put it past if they were on like some sort of closed circuit communication with the Capitol police who report directly to Pelosi, open the gates, check one, check one, check two, open the gates, let them in. Dude, I really think there was a significant setup element to this. I mean, there's video. First of all, they won't release 10,000 hours of video surveillance that exists. Second of all, if they did, I think what you're going to see is very close coordination. These gates were very nicely open. People poured in. Anyway, we're not going down the rabbit hole of Jan 6 today, but that was just a shame.
And we have another long wait until we really get to the bottom of that. We have to control the Senate and the Congress before we can make any, you know, actual honest, you know, kind of investigation into that whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. Another reason to hate China. There's a lot of reasons.
And a lot
I'm not
reasons.
Talking about the Chinese people. I'm talking about the CCP.
CCP, Chinese Communist Party.
They have been, and I know I sound like a big greenie when I talk about this stuff, but the hundreds of millions of dollars of illegal animal products that the CCP brings in for some bizarre fifth century way of thinking that is going to provide a health benefit, whether it's the rhino, ivory, or elephant tusks. The primary reason that these poor rhinos and elephants are being hunted in Africa almost to extinction.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, Leonardo, Mr. DiCaprio is up there, you know, and I agree with him on this stuff. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
And the poor people in Africa, you're going to give them $100. That's like a million to them. It's like, oh, go shoot a rhino and give me the horn. Okay.
Right.
But the latest is there's an animal called the pangolin. These are cute little, they look like aardvarks with scales.
Right.
And they have been, there's a huge, for some bizarre, I don't even know how it's supposed to help them in the health department, but they busted this one group of smugglers. They've killed 16,000 pangolins to obtain the scales, which they believe is going to, I don't know, somehow help them. But the black market over there is horrendous.
Yeah.
They've got now in the last year, they said they've gotten 8 tons of these little scales. Can you please leave these little animals alone, for heaven's sakes?
I know. It sucks. I mean, it's this whole wet market thing, and it's just ingrained in culture over there, in society, and we hate it. And it's not nice, and it's not good. And so if we can do anything to, you know, rally against that, you know, that'd be great.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, speaking of like lower forms of life, animals, I got one story for you here.
Okay.
Breaking on Gateway. You remember that story a bunch of years ago, the Central Park Five, they gang raped 5 black dudes from Africa, came over here, and then they supposedly settled. And then they gang raped a white woman in Central Park. It was called the Central Park Five case.
I made a TV show.
The guy's name was Yusef Salam. Yusef Salam. Funny how their names aren't Fred Smith. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Yusef Salam, Central Park Five fame, got life in prison along with his pals for gang raping and almost beating to death a woman in Central Park. Well, guess what? He's now running for state Senate in New York. And he's going to probably become the next lieutenant governor of New York.
Why not?
I mean, dude,
I wonder
to
how
your point about San Francisco, you cannot make this shit up, man. This is just unbelievable. I mean, well, and they'll probably get in. Those dimwits over in the Bronx will probably vote for him.
Yeah. If you can elect Ilhan Omar or whatever her name is, the squad.
Yeah.
To Congress. I mean, anything is possible these days.
Well, the squad stuff is easy, right? You have 3 or 4 or 5 of them. And if you break down the voting demos of how those people get voted, like in Minneapolis, for example, there's one area of Minneapolis that's 95% Somalis, right? They're all the refugees that have come over here from Somalia and elsewhere. Well, guess who they vote for? Omar. I mean, what a shock.
I know. Ooh,
who should we vote for? Fred Smith or Omar? Yeah. Okay. Omar. You know, she's more like us. So there you go. This is the way this shit happens.
But that's kind of like the blueprint, isn't it?
It's a total blueprint
for the entire country.
Why do you think Biden flew 50,000 of them over here?
Oh yeah.
Why do you think he lets millions in through the southern border? That's exactly why they do it. It's pretty
well. Here's somebody who's actually pushing back against this. So we've talked about him a few times, but the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is been on a rampage about the migration issue.
Okay.
So he actually there was a big conference over there. It was basically saying, hey, to preserve Europe's cultural heritage, this has to stop. You know, Hungary's done pretty well in Poland about pushing back against this. But it's just data. It's facts. So this is many countries were represented, but he's one of the few that has stepped up and said, hey, it's so obvious to see that there's a huge rise in crime, huge rise in terrorism. It breaks down our cultural heritage, which has, you know, ramifications for decades to come, and it has to stop. And there's such a, I don't know what it is, that's the globalists are pushing it for even more.
Yeah.
So hopefully Europe will figure this out, but good for him and good for Hungary for actually stepping up about this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure. There's beautiful pockets of resistance that we're seeing and we're going to continue to see. Bringing it back to the United States for a second. Not sure if you saw this story. This is our, by the way, for folks who haven't figured this out yet, this is our liberal libtard potpourri show where we tackle a whole bunch of crazy left-wing ideologue stories. So flash over to Breitbart, New York City last night, a rioter attempted to set fire to a New York Police Department van with officers inside by pouring gasoline on the van and lighting it on fire. Apparently the de Blasio has recommended him for a Medal of Valor. Not sure if you knew that,
but a bum.
but that part is a joke, obviously. But look, this is, I mean, felony, attempted murder, arson, name it, right? But literally, they're probably going to get a misdemeanor slap on the wrist and get let out of jail. But Dave, this is the hellhole that New York City has become. Used to be a great city under Bloomberg and under Giuliani, and it has just become a complete disaster, which is why we left 8 years ago.
The blue cities have now reached an inflection point.
Yeah.
And COVID has exacerberated it. But
Chicago, I'm gonna jump shootings every weekend, 60 shootings this weekend.
Another shoot. Yeah. Since I'm a Hollywood guy, I always like to mention the woke nonsense.
And
you know, it's one of the great phrases of all time is go woke, go broke. But so now everything is race switching. and gender switching, because Hollywood wants to tear down anything that we've, you know, they tore down the cowboy for decades,
right?
They tried to feminize the cowboy and weaken the cowboy in their own shows. But the latest is Cinderella. So the famous Cinderella story, with basically you got a white chick and trying to, you know, meet the prince and all that stuff. So now Amazon has created their own version of Cinderella with a Hispanic female. Her name is Camila Cabello.
There you go.
Now, strangely about this is that although they said, oh, it's so wonderful, this feminist recasting, we're very, very happy about that.
Right.
Apparently, it was not left enough. So some of the more progressive outlets said, well, it's disappointing that none of the side characters got to do much. And they were all kind of stereotypes. They should have made them all like have other issues, you know, be a lesbian or whatever else.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, I got a great idea. It just hit me. I have a great idea that front, a great idea. And I know you're pretty big in the media world there and pretty influential and so forth. So here's an idea. There was this other show called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Remember Snow White, Seven Dwarfs. Okay. So what we do is let's take Snow White. Let's change her into a Muslim. And then you take the seven dwarfs and you take your top seven libtard ideological stances and you make each one of them represent one. So you have an LGBTQ, you have a lesbo, the gay flag, you have the whole nine yards, every single one. Just think of every single one you can possibly think of. And we could have a whole new series. We could market it to Netflix. They would carry it. They would love it, actually. You might want to look into that.
I'm sure it is on the floor of the new TV shows being discussed at Netflix right now. So it just shows you this heavy-handed messaging. People turn up, you know, they're not going to. And the thing was with the streaming companies, though, Frank, they can hide behind it. In other words, they don't have to push the numbers. They don't have to say, oh, this did that. They're happy just having that show out there.
Right.
And they'll never actually release the figures of people viewing or in this case, not viewing.
Oh, 100%.
So they can hide behind it.
It just keeps the whole woke machine off their back. And that's all they care about.
So, you know, it's unfortunate that they chose to go down that route. But you know what?
Yeah.
People will turn off.
Yeah, let them do it. I got one more I got to give you before, and then maybe throw it back to you. You know, we're not doing much on coronavirus on today's show, but I did see this hysterical thing over in Chicago. Illinois teacher caught, we're on Gateway Pundit here, folks. So Illinois teacher caught on camera calling student a piece of shit for taking his mask off to take a drink of water. Not just taking it off like, hey, I'm floating convention here or whatever. The kid took his mask off to take a drink of water. And there's a whole video of it online for folks who want to check it out. Called him out and said, you're a piece of shit. Yeah, that's what we want from our public school teachers. And that's pretty much what we've got from a lot of our public school teachers.
The whole education system has to be completely blown up and start over again. These teachers are psychotic.
Yeah.
And they're power hungry and they're just wrong.
If I can make one recommendation to our followers, listeners, and so forth, fans, I would love to recommend. I had this great awakening over the past year. Obviously, I've been a Christian for a long time and so forth, but putting our children into a private Christian-based school was the best decision of our lives. And if you can afford it, if you can do it, I would highly, highly encourage it. They are our most treasured asset on the planet, is our kids and your kids. So I think that is, it's been an incredible experience so far, and we're only just starting. Would highly encourage people to seriously think about that in the face of the secular onslaught that we are facing as a country, as a people, and the tearing apart of Christianity, which we did a show on last week.
Well said, buddy. Yeah, I think people have to make some serious decisions as far as their own way they're going to live and what you can expose your kids to. Because I got to tell you, the government, that's what they are. These are government-run institutions.
Yeah.
And you're going to trust your children with these people? I don't think so.
Dave, it's been great catching up with you this week. Folks, don't forget to check us out on your favorite social media platform. We're all over the place. Gab, MeWe, Facebook. We hate Twitter, but we're still there. But love Getter. Getter is the new
Better.
Twitter for folks who don't know. GETTR, launched by a former Trump associate, Jason Miller.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We're getting a big following there. But check us out on all those platforms. And of course, on your favorite podcast platform of choice,
Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora. We're all over the place. Love you, Dave. Take care.
See you, buddy.
See ya.